And then my mom and my brothers and sister, we've had a lot of Christmases. It's been fun, but there's been a lot of running around and a lot of busyness. So what I want to share with you today, vacations. Let me talk about vacations for a minute first. Since I had my seizure, since I broke my shoulders over these last 5 years, and actually a little bit before that, vacations at some point stopped being relaxing for me. I don't know when that happened or where that happened. I used to be a very spontaneous person, and I love to just take off and do whatever whenever. But I realized that the more trouble I had, I needed to plan more. I needed to be more and more prepared all the time. Otherwise, vacations became kind of a stressful thing for me. Now, this is an idea I haven't fully developed yet. I just kind of started thinking about that this week. But let me share this with you. Maybe you can think on it too and let me know what you come up with. But I've recognized my weakness means a greater need for preparation. So recognizing my weakness means I have a greater need for preparation, to be prepared for what's coming and what's next. Now, I think there's a bigger idea there that I haven't fully developed yet that I'm still working on. I want you to think about that in your life. But recognizing your weakness means that you have a greater need for preparation, to be prepared for the things that are coming. And that's going to play a little bit into what we're talking about today. For me to truly enjoy our vacations, there's the steps I need to take. There's a path I have to go down to be ready, to be excited, to enjoy my time. I have to take a lot more time now to prepare. It's no fun going into something completely unprepared, especially when that something is supposed to be something really fun. Especially when the goal is for it to be relaxing, to be fun, for me to go into it unprepared just makes it a very stressful event for me instead. So what we're going to do today, I want to share with you what's supposed to be the most exciting event ever in the history of creation, and it comes from Revelation chapter 5. This is going to be the most exciting event that ever happens, okay? The greatest time. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Revelation chapter 5, beginning of verse 11, says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Let me pray for us as we get started today. Heavenly Father, as we come today, I just ask that you would open up your word to us and then open up our hearts to your word. Lord, I just ask that you would make that connection between the scripture today and our daily lives and the exact place that we're at. Heavenly Father, I know that there's probably just a multitude of situations in this room. People are coming from all different places this morning. In their lives. But Lord, I believe that your word has something specific to say to each and every one of us. I believe it's living and active and powerful in that way. And so, Father, I ask that you do that work. I ask that you speak to each and every one of us today through your scriptures. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross and bring glory to Jesus Christ. That is always our goal, that he would be lifted up and he would be glorified. And that if we leave here today and not a single person remembers even my name, but they leave here glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, then we've accomplished our goal today. Heavenly Father, I ask that you use this message, these words that I've prepared in a mighty way, or that you throw them out and do something completely different. Whatever needs to happen today, Lord, I'm open to you and your word. I ask that you would speak loud and clear. Lord, use me in a mighty way. Make a fool of me. Whatever you need to do, Lord, but speak. That's our goal. That's our hope. That's our desire here this morning. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about Advent. We've had an Advent series. And I think a lot of times we think of Advent being over when Christmas is over, depending on and when and where you come from and what tradition you grew up in, or maybe no traditions church-wise. Some of you may know that in the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, Advent actually goes through till January 6th, which is the Epiphany, which is the idea of that's the time when Jesus as God is revealed to the world, usually through the talk about the Magi, the wise men, which is what the kids are doing today in children's church, or through talking about the baptism of John the Baptist, baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, and the Spirit coming down. But that's the Sunday, or that's the day, January 6th, that we celebrate that we celebrate the Epiphany. And so what I want to do today is we're gonna close out our Advent series. We're gonna finalize our Advent series by talking about these last four sermons. I don't know if you realize it or not, but over the last 4 weeks, what we've done is we're leading to a place. We've been leading to a conclusion. The last four sermons that I've done through the Advent series actually are connected in a very important progression. And so that's what I want to talk about today is this progression and where it leads us to. And the title of the message today is Advent for the Rest of the Year. Advent for the Rest of the Year. And the goal is that these 4 weeks that we've been through now today, we're going to wrap those up. We're going to see how they're all tied together and how they point us in a specific direction so that tomorrow, as we start 2024, we can start that year in a whole new way. And hopefully in a very powerful direction. And that's my goal today. What we've gone through these last four Sundays is the first Sunday we talked about hope. And the way I'm going to talk about it today is promise. God has made a promise. That's where our hope came from. That's what we talked about on that Sunday. So we're going to talk about it as promise today. But promise, preparation, joy, and adoration. Promise, preparation, joy, and adoration. And those have a direction that they go in. Our promise that God has given to us, where our hope lies, leads us to preparation. And so we've talked about the first advent of Jesus Christ, where he came as a baby, right? And all the while we've been connecting that every single Sunday to what? The second advent of Jesus Christ, the fact that he's coming again. And the second time, is he coming as a baby? Not this time, right? There's going to be shouts and trumpets, and it's going to be an event. And so this second coming of Jesus Christ is a whole different thing. And so the idea, what we're going to be talking about today, we're going to wrap all that up and we're going to see how the promise leads us then to live a life of preparation. And as we're preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ, that leads to joy and a life of joy. And then that leads to adoration, the idea that we are eternally worshiping Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of our progression. That's where we're going today. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've shared this here at the church before, but probably not for a long time. In my mind, in my understanding, there are really two kinds of sermons. Now, you can split them up in lots of different ways, but to me, there's two kinds of sermons. There is a topical sermon, and there's an expository sermon. Now, expository sermons are what I preach 95% of the time. And what I do is I take a scripture passage and we walk through that verse by verse, sometimes word by word, depending on what we're doing. And so that's what I do 95% of the time. The other type of sermon is a topical sermon, where you take a topic and you preach on that topic and bring scriptures in to support that topic. Now, I don't do topical preaching a whole lot. Part of the reason is there's a danger of preaching your own opinion quite a bit. And so I don't do that a whole lot. And so today, though, we are preaching a topical sermon because my goal is to wrap these things up. Now, what you find out with Pastor Shane is when he does preach a topical sermon, he throws a lot of scripture at you. So I don't know if you any of you grew up in church or in youth group and you did Bible drills before to see who could find the passage the fastest, but there's going to be a lot of that today, okay? We're going to be looking at a lot of passages because I want to make sure that we understand that I don't want this to be just my opinion. I want you to understand that this is scripture, that this is scripture that we're looking at. And so we're going to walk through those things. We're going to walk through those things and kind of see that logical end of if we go through the promise, the preparation, the joy, and the adoration, what does that kind of life look like when we live that life? So let's talk about that. Let's first talk about promise, the promise that we have. In Acts, the book of Acts, right after Jesus leaves, there is some kind of, sometimes I think it's a funny passage, Acts chapter 1. What happens in Acts chapter 1 is it's Jesus' final discussion with his disciples, and then he's taken up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, it says, after he said this, Jesus, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven. So they're standing there looking at Jesus, gazing into heaven. And suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, now I love this part because they say, why are you standing there looking? At this point, Jesus has already given them the Great Commission. He's told them what their job is, what they should be doing. And so the angels show up and they say, why are you standing there looking into heaven? And this is what they say, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going. So there's this promise of, you know, this Jesus just got taken up into heaven. There's a day when he's going to come back down. He's going to descend from the heavens back onto the earth. Now, this time of year is the time that my household starts planning our entire summer. Now, that might seem a little bit strange, but let me share with you why that is. Stephanie's family has a week-long family reunion in Breckenridge. My family has a week-long family reunion in Rocky Ford. My older kids have youth camp. Faith has kids camp. We have vacation Bible school at the church. And Melody and Naomi start marching band rehearsals in July. So there's 5 weeks of my summer gone. And so if we don't start planning right now, then the summer's shot. Like, we need to figure out what we're doing and when we're doing it, and we need to start getting ready for it because the summer fills up very fast. And usually, if we don't start planning about now, then the summer's gone. We end up doing nothing except for the stuff that we have to get done, and that's about all we end up doing. And we want to have vacations, you know? We want to take off and do fun things as a family. And so we actually start planning out our summer right about now. We start getting those dates on the calendar because we want to be certain what is coming. We want to be sure what's going to happen this summer. If we don't, then the summer ends up being a disaster. Now, we have this incredible promise in Acts chapter 1. That promise is that Jesus is coming back. I want to show you a few other places where this is very clear. One of them is Jesus himself in the book of Mark chapter 13. Jesus in Mark 13, verses 26 through 27. Still hear the pages turning. You guys are doing a good job. By the end of the sermon, I usually hear a lot less pages. People get tired by then. But in Mark chapter 13, verses 26 and 27, it says, then they see, they will see, this is Jesus himself talking, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in great glory and power. That's the next time. And then again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Now, I will share with you right now that I could spend pretty much the rest of our time just going through these passages about Jesus coming back because the scripture is absolutely full of them. I won't. Don't get scared, okay? I'm not going to spend all of our time talking about that. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, this is the way the promise comes through in there. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. Now I can't imagine what that's going to sound like. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Now here's why this is important. We must always have this set in our minds. We must hold on to this promise at all times. And the reason for that is we must know this promise is true without a doubt, because if we do not, we will never properly prepare. I think so many of us don't live the lives that we've been called to live because we really don't, in the very depths of who we are, really believe this promise. Really believe that at any moment, like now, we could hear the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God at this moment. And so the first thing we have to do is we have to hold on to this promise. We have to have this set and know this without a doubt, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back any moment now. That has to be set first, because once that is set in our minds and in our hearts, then we begin to live in preparation for that moment. So let's talk about the preparation. When I go on a vacation, there's a lot of things I have to have set in place for sure before I'm ready to go. One of them is I have to make sure that I've set aside some money for it first. Vacations you can't afford are stressful, so you have to make sure that's there. I always have to make sure I have people to preach. I haven't had this happen, but I assume you would be upset with me if nobody was preaching on Sunday mornings. So I have to make sure that's in place. I always have to make sure somebody's taking care of the dog. I don't know how. Every time we go on vacation, I'm like, I don't know how the kids talk me into this dog. Because we always have to find somebody to take care of the dog every single time. But there's these things that vacation's not going to be enjoyable unless you have these things put in place, unless you're prepared in these ways. And so when you're not sure of the vacation, you don't take time to prepare. If you're not planning on going anywhere, do you worry about somebody preaching? Do you worry about having the money set aside? Do you worry about somebody taking care of the dog if you're not heading anywhere? No, you don't even think about that stuff, right? You have to have it set in your mind. You have to know that it's coming so that you're preparing for it. Being sure of the promise of Christ's return leads us to properly prepare for it. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 9. Now, this is a great passage about his promise, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay." So the Lord hasn't come back yet. Is it because he forgot? Is it because he has something else that he's doing right now and he doesn't really remember about the... No, this is talking about his timing is perfect, okay? So listen to this. "The Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." But just because he's been patient, don't think he's put it off forever. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed." Now that's what's going to happen. And then verse 11, "Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness, as you wait for the day of the Lord and hasten its coming. Because of that day, the heavens will be dissolved with fire and the elements will melt with heat. But based on his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in his sight, at peace." What is that passage about? Being prepared, isn't it? It's about being ready. Have you ever been caught doing something you're not supposed to? Everybody has. Yeah, the question is how many times? Let me ask you this. Think about one time when you've been caught doing something you shouldn't have been doing. If you knew that person was coming, would you have done it? No, not for a second, right? The funny one is, I don't know how many of you have dogs, but whenever I find my dog doing something they shouldn't do, that dog guilt, you know, where their ears go down and they like slink away. Have you ever come around the corner and your dog does that and you're like, oh no. What they do. But yeah, if you knew that person was going to show up, then you wouldn't have been doing that. That's the idea of preparation. It's the idea of, I have this promise and I know Jesus is coming back, so my life is going to be lived in preparation for that moment. I'm going to be getting ready for the time when Jesus comes back. And how do we prepare? Verse 9 in 2 Peter that we just read, verse 9 mentions it, but the rest of the passage talks about it. And it's the idea that you repent. It's that you turn around and head the other way. It's the idea that here's what the world looks like, so don't look like that. Look very different than the world. You live in godliness. You live a different way. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but you, brother, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. Keep at it. Keep working. Be prepared. Get ready. So we must be prepared for the return of Christ if we're going to look forward to it with joy. Okay? That's where we're going next. So we know this promise is true. And because we know without a doubt this promise is true, I live a life of preparation, being prepared for Jesus to come back. And when you live that life of preparation, then you live a life of joy. Let me show you what that looks like. Let me explain that a little more. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm a planner. I like to be prepared for what's coming up. That's why... For a lot of time in recent years, I've had trouble being excited about some of our vacations. Because, you know, especially before we started figuring out some of my neurological issues that I was having, being tired and being foggy made it feel like I was never ready. No matter what we did, no matter how much work I put in, I was just never ready to go. I'm never ready for this vacation because I just can't wrap my mind around it. And that was pretty miserable. Especially when you're looking forward to something that should be fun, that should be exciting, that should be relaxing, that should be something you really want to enjoy, to never be ready for it, oh, that's miserable. That's miserable. And I spent a lot of time that way. Being prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ allows us to look forward to it with great joy, with great joy. If you look at the book of Philippians, look at the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 17 through 20. I can hear the pages. Some of you guys are hanging in there. Good job. Philippians chapter 3. I don't have like a candy bar for you or something at the end. I apologize. Hopefully what you get by the end of this is better than a candy bar. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20 says, join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, I love his heart here, now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This illustration here is quite the opposite of being caught in the act. This is being caught prepared, right? This is being caught in the good act. This is like somebody finding you doing something that you should have been doing. I love when my kids, so we have a two-story house, the bedrooms are upstairs. I love it when my kids are up there working away at something. For Nathaniel, it's usually Legos. He's got some Lego project he's working on. Naomi and Faith will be working on, a drawing or a craft project. I especially love it when they're working on cleaning their rooms. But sometimes they're working on something up there, and you can tell they're so excited, they're waiting for me to come up and look at whatever it is that they're doing. And it's so much fun, so much so that, you know, sometimes they're like, Dad, when are you coming upstairs? You know, they just can't wait because they've been working on this thing and they want you to see it. You know, they're so proud of it. And that's the picture that we're talking about here. That's the kind of life that we're talking about living. Awaiting the return of Christ, we should be eager. We should have great joy because we've been preparing for this moment. We've been excited for him to come. I'm ready. Jesus gives the perfect parable about this truth in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And so much so that Jesus gives more than one parable about this. We're going to look at just this one, but this is such an important idea that Jesus gives several parables about this exact same idea. But Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, says, "For it is like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more, but the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached and presented 5 more talents and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy.' The man with 2 talents also approached. He said, 'Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy.' The man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, 'Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.'" Now, if we think about that story, I want you to ask yourself the question, which servants were excited for the master to get back? Which ones were living in joy going, "I can't wait for the master to come back to show him what I've done. I am ready for him to return. I am ready for him to get back." And which one was scared for the master to show up again? Do you live your life of joy, a life of going, "I live for one thing only, and that's to hear what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." Just like my kids calling me up the stairs, "Dad, I want to show you what I've been doing." Do you even know how the Bible ends? Ever read the last 2 verses of the Bible? Here's how the Bible ends. We have this great book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, all about the end times, all about when Christ comes back. That's what the whole story in the book of Revelation is. And the Bible ends this way. The one John who has heard all this revelation, who has seen all these visions, Revelation 22, last 2 verses, verse 20, it says, "He who testifies about these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.'" Those are red words in my Bible. Those are the words of Jesus. And then what is his response? "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Amen." What is his response? How does the Bible end? "Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. I'm ready. I've been living my life, a prepared life." And when you're living a prepared life for his return, guess what? You live in joy. You live in joy. Now, I am not saying that every moment of your life will be a joyful moment. Life is hard. And we go through junk. And there are valleys. And there are times where you're scared. There's times you're depressed. There's times. But you know one thought that will always bring you joy in all those times? The return of Jesus. That will always bring you joy. Because you're ready. Because you're ready. We must be looking forward to Christ's return with joy if we're going to spend eternity in adoration. So let's end with that. Let's talk about adoration. I love it when I've set a date for my vacation, I've properly prepared, I've looked forward to it with joy, and then the moment comes where you realize you're enjoying the fruit. You're enjoying the fruit of it all. You're finally there. You're finally experiencing what you've prepared for, what you've waited for. I remember one specific moment on one of my vacations that has always stuck out to me, more so than any other. And I probably shared part of it with you before because it was such a big moment for me. And I figured out, I think, why that is just this week as I was studying. So it was a time when we were at Silver Falls. It's a park in Oregon. Got a couple pictures that Caleb will put up that I want you to see. It's an incredibly beautiful place. There's these waterfalls that come down off the rocks, and I don't know if you can see in that picture, but you kind of walk back underneath where the rocks come together, and you're behind the waterfall. And so we walk through it. It's like a tropical rainforest down in there. It's just amazing. It's just beautiful. And we were with my grandparents, which is one of the reasons it was so special of a moment to me. On Thursday of this week, my grandparents just celebrated 71 years of marriage. And so Grandma and Grandpa were with us, and my favorite picture of my Grandma and Grandpa is taken on that trip. But they were with us, my aunt and uncle, my brother was with us. But we had this moment where we stopped and we ate lunch underneath a waterfall. We had packed our lunch and this big waterfall is right in front of us and we're eating lunch under there. And I can remember just sitting there and it was just a moment that I'll just always remember. Now, we live in Colorado. I've been to a lot of beautiful places. We've been on a lot of great trips and seen amazing things. And this one really sticks out to me. And I realize one of the reasons that it does, probably the biggest reason, is that this was one of the hardest trips for me to plan for. It was a big trip. You know, we went there, we went to Spokane and visited family there. We took a big, long trip. And it was one of those that was hard for me to wrap my mind around. I was struggling, didn't realize I was struggling. It's before we knew what was going on with my, you know, epilepsy and my issues. And it was hard. It was very hard. And it took a lot of preparation. And at times I was dreading the trip. But that was that moment. That was that moment, I think, where I was like, this is it. This is what all the work was for. This is why I put all this time and this energy into this, was for a moment like this, to sit under this incredible waterfall and have lunch with my family. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth all the hard work. Joyful anticipation finds fulfillment in pure adoration. No matter what you've been through, no matter how hard it is, no matter what the valleys are or the mountaintops and all the things, there's going to be a moment where every single one of us goes, every second I spent living for Jesus was worth it because of this moment right here. I want to read for you Psalm 95. Psalm 95, the first six verses. And this gives us a little picture. I mean, I probably could have picked a dozen different psalms, but I think this one is a beautiful one. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6, says, "Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord, shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hand formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Do you see the joyful anticipation there? I can't wait to go adore him and worship him in his presence. I look forward with joy to the day that our Lord returns. So with that being said, let's look at where we started today. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. This is where we began. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Now again, think about where we've come from. Think about the promise that he has made, that we know is secure. Think about the fact that we live prepared lives. I know he's coming back, so I'm living that way every day. And then we find joy in his return. We look forward to that. Even in the hardest times, one thing that brings me joy is knowing my Lord is coming back because I'm ready. And then here's lunch under the waterfall. Here's the moment. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. He He said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Our joyful anticipation will result in true and pure adoration of him. With all of the angels and all the creatures, I don't know what it sounds like for every living creature to worship God. I can't imagine what that sounds like. But guess what? We're going to be there. We're going to be there for it. So what does this mean for us today? Wrap this up for us. What does this mean for us today? First and foremost, I want to direct something to everyone in this room who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, who comes and says, "Man, these are some nice stories from the Bible that Pastor Shane is talking about, but you've never experienced what it means to be saved from sin and death through Jesus." I want to show you what this means for you. Number one, Jesus will return, this time in power and glory. That's a promise. Believe it. Secondly, because that's true, I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. And that means to repent and turn from your sins and come to Jesus and be saved. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." I want you to be ready for the day he comes back. Then, once you've done that, once you've come to him for that forgiveness, for that salvation, I want you to live every day in anticipation of his return instead of living in fear. We live in fear of death, but more than that, whether you realize it or not, you're living in fear of being separated from God for all eternity. That's a fate much worse than death. And I want you to live in joyful anticipation of the day Jesus comes back. And then and only then, I believe, will you live and experience true joy in every day. You'll be able to find it, even in the darkest situations. So that's what I desire for you. I don't want you, as we read today, to live as enemies of the cross any longer. That breaks my heart. And so talk to whoever brought you here today with them. Talk to me. I'll be around after church. I am available to you. But if you want to hear more about that, I want to let you know, because I want you to experience all that we're talking about today. And finally, to my brothers and sisters, I have one last thing I want to share with you. One last verse. If you made it through all the verses, this is it. Hebrews chapter 3. And I hope this brings you joy today. Hebrews chapter 3. Some of you still out there. Love you. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. This kind of sums up everything we talked about today. "Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But instead, encourage each other daily, while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. Keep these things in front of you always. Our Savior's coming back. Be prepared for his second coming. Look forward to it with great joy and anticipation, and remind one another daily that we will adore and worship him for all eternity, in a place where there will never again be any weeping, any sorrow, any tears, except for tears of joy." Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, ask that right now, in this moment, that you would somehow, in some way, in the depth of every one of our hearts, make clear, make real, make solid your promise to return. Lord, forgive us for the days where we live as if you're never coming back. Lord, I know we've all been guilty of that. But today, the last day of 2023, I ask that you set firmly in the depths of our hearts the fact that our Savior is returning. And this time in power and glory. Heavenly Father, for those who have never put their faith in Jesus, I ask that you set that reality in their hearts at this moment. And that that would lead them to repentance and lead them to Jesus. And for my brothers and sisters here, Father, forgive us for the times that we've lived as if that promise was not true. And we've just gone about our business however we wanted. Lord, set that promise as true and real and solid in our hearts so that we live a life of preparation, that we live every single day investing the gifts that you've given us. You told us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always. Lord, you have left us your kingdom responsibility to go out and make disciples. And so, Lord, I just ask that we would live a life of preparation. A life saying, I am excited for my Savior to come back. I'm excited for him to see what it is that I've been doing. Lord, let us live lives for one purpose, and that's to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I've left you the responsibility of my kingdom, and you have done great things here. Lord, let us live that out. And then as we live that out, Lord, in the most difficult times in our life, let us always be able to think, Jesus is coming back, and I'm ready for it. And let that just put a smile on our face and get us through the most difficult times. Let us find pure joy in being prepared for the return of our Savior. And then, Lord, let us just be excited. Let us look forward to, let us be ready for the day when the trumpet sounds, when the voice of the archangel is heard. Let us be ready for the day when all the creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth, the sea and all that is in them, are singing your praises, and that we get to be a part of that chorus. Lord, I just ask that this year we would live a new kind of life. We would live a prepared and joyful life as we look forward to that day. Do that work in us, Lord. And I ask that through that then, not just our day from day to day would be changed, but our family and our neighbors and our coworkers and our city and our state and our nation and our world would be changed by men and women who are living in preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. Use us to change our world. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.